Welcome to Becoming Parents Podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Campbell. I'm a doula in Washoe County, Nevada, a Medicaid provider, a lactation educator, childbirth educator, and mom of 18. You can find me and connect on doulainreno.com. Remember, give a shout out to those who are brave enough to share their stories with us on how they have become parents. Let's dive in. Welcome to Becoming Parents Podcast. I'm your host, Jennifer Campbell. Today, I am with Lee Friedman. Lee, how are you?
I'm great. I'm excited to be here.
Me too. We were just talking about how we get to meet in your bedroom.
Yes, it's great. It's very clean.
Only awkward if it's you, and it's not awkward for us. I'm so excited to jump in. I want you to share your parenting journey with us.
Sure. Gosh, it's been a while since I've taken a step back and thought about it.
Yeah.
And then like, immediately a lot of things to that come to the top of my mind. I think I was never one of these. I was never somebody who naturally knew I always wanted to have kids. I wasn't in a rush to have kids. I was living in New York as a lawyer with my husband. And we moved to DC and sort of were doing the very busy professional newlywed thing. And at some point it was like, well, I guess if we're going to do that thing, we should probably do that thing. And now fast forward 7 years later, we have a 7-year-old and a 3-year-old. And my job is now very focused on parenting. Also, I started a family travel company last year. So when you think about the journey of becoming parents, for me, it sort of fully rerouted in many ways, not just my personal life, but my professional life too. Not without its bumps in the roads, but I now spend most of my time thinking about like my life through the lens of being a parent in a way I never really thought I would. If you had asked me, you know, 10 years ago, what I projected for myself, sort of some interesting thing to think about.
Well, you are on a very different trajectory. I mean, you're living in DC as a lawyer,
yeah,
without kids. Right. And you can do the things that you want to do. And if travel's something you love to do, I think in this podcast, I'm going to start by saying, before I had kids, I really felt like you could continue to do or even decide you wanted to do anything you wanted with kids. You don't have to stop. Like, I didn't stop running. I got a running stroller. It wasn't as much fun. It was a lot of work. I didn't always love it.
They are a lot of work.
But I didn't stop running. So you can continue to do and add things in when you have kids. You do have to figure out a different system to get it all done.
Yeah. What a great way of putting it. I think that's sort of like the, you know, to talk about my business and also my parenting journey. That was a big thing for me in becoming a parent, was I had all these parts of my personality that I didn't want to release. And I wanted to work in being a parent, and travel was a big one for me, obviously, because that's sort of where my passion lies and where my career took me. But even before that, that I really found early on. And when I say early, I don't mean at 3 months. Some people have kids and they start traveling like 3 months in. That wasn't the case for me, though I now like to help other parents do that. But even a year in, I found that I became a better parent when I was finding time to do those things that were important. And for me, travel was the big one. And I learned a lot about myself as a parent on some of those early trips with my daughter, and a lot about how to enjoy our time together. I am not a parent that like really thrives in the daily routine. And I'll admit, I don't love like playing with my kids like day in, day out. That just like doesn't come as naturally to me. But going out and sharing like world experience with them, I love to do that. And so then I can, that like allows me to be engaged in a way that satisfies me and gives something to them, right? That's like a way that you can do it in your own way.
I it's interesting when you see families, like I said, I like to run and you like to travel. So our kids are very like trained, right? My kids knew how to run an aid station when they were pretty little at a running race. Your kids know how to pack a bag,
like
to travel.
Security. Right.
Right. Like TSA is not anything nerve-wracking for your kids. So our kids become kind of accustomed, and they're those type of kids. So they're, you know, your mom's a runner, or your mom, you guys travel, or you whatever. The kids really do adjust. They don't know anything different. It's their normal, right? That's just what you do. And I think you hit upon something that I feel like is really important that we kind of lose sight of, when we're happy as parents, whether you love being like, I was a stay-at-home mom for over a decade and I loved it. And then I worked corporate and I loved working. It was harder to balance. I've been a single mom. Like, there wasn't any part of it that I didn't like, but it's for me, it's all a different system. It works differently. So we don't need to feel bad if you love to work and you don't want to be home all day because you're not as good of a parent. I think it's important to figure out what makes you the best parent.
Yeah, I think that's right. And to accept that that's going to be imperfect. Like there are a lot of times where I right now feel like I would rather be working than doing this task that I have to do as a parent. And I'm supposed to love being a parent, like beyond all other things. But like, frankly, like I also really like my job, but I really hate cleaning up after my kids. So like sometimes, you know, like and try to find the balance in a way where it's not just that like you're spending time with your kids because you have to. You want to want like but doing it in a way where you want to do it. And everybody has their own way of experiencing that. And we get a lot of guilt about like, well, I'm supposed to be doing this. I'm supposed to be playing with them or engaging with them in like this way. And maybe that's not the way you're supposed to be engaging with your kids. So for me, talking to them about like travel and has been really interesting. And then the other part that I never really expected at all is because I had been in this corporate setting for 15 years and am now pivoting to running my own business. And talking to my daughter about that has been extremely rewarding and interesting, sort of explaining to her the risks and the excitement and the challenges of doing that has been really fun. And she's been sort of along for the ride with me. So I've really enjoyed that part of parenting also recently.
You went for, I mean, like you had a more drastic jump too, I want to point out, because when I was working corporate, I wasn't making a lawyer's salary. I didn't have to replace, like, it's when you launch into an entrepreneurial endeavor, I feel like sometimes you have to see, okay, like I now I'm going to have to cover the cost of daycare, or I'm going to have to replace this much money, or you know what I mean? Like, there's a
Yes.
balance in it. When I went back to birth work, we had to make the decision that we could go to one income and make those adjustments so that I wasn't stressed about earning money for a certain amount of time. Like, there's all of that. And so I want to backtrack a little, because you and your husband traveled and you had a lifestyle just being in DC and stuff. Like, it's a very different, you weren't living in a farm in Tennessee. Like,
Correct.
very, very different lifestyle, right?
Yes.
And then when you decided to have kids, did you get pregnant pretty easily?
Yes,
Did
I'm really
you?
fortunate. I got pregnant both times very easily. So that was not a challenge for me. In some ways, it was like, well, we have to try now, even if we're not ready, because it might take a while. And then it happened fast. And we were like, oh, I guess we're going to
Oh
do
no.
that.
Oops.
For sure.
That
Okay,
wasn't
great. Glad we wanted to do that. So. Yeah, and we waited for we our kids have a 4-year gap. And some of that is because of the things we've been talking about. We had our daughter in DC. We were both still working full time, sort of more corporate careers. And there's a few different things in there because you were sort of seizing on the biggest issue in our family at this moment in time, which is the transition of careers and thinking about the income and the lifestyle is something we're currently navigating. But back then, you know, I was the primary breadwinner, and my husband had decided to work in the nonprofit space. So I had the corporate law firm salary, and that worked for us because we were happy. And I was lucky enough to work in a corporate setting where there was some flexibility about my schedule. So when we had one child, that all seemed very manageable. And we really enjoyed our life as a family of three. We started traveling with her. She was just like, she adapted to that very well. And then we reached the point that many happy families of three reach of like, well, I guess we have to have another one, right? Like, isn't that the thing we're supposed to do? And we were on the fence because we had sort of made it work as a family of three. We had found this like happy unit and we'd found it balanced with our jobs. And then we kind of knew that having the second would sort of like throw that into total chaos, which it did. And you know, I don't regret it for a second, but I found the shift to the second much harder for us than the shift to the first. which I know is like different for everybody.
It is different for everybody. I think it's fascinating because usually you have the first, and it's like that throws off the balance more than that's the hardest transition for most people, just because now you have to parent this human and agree on stuff and
Yeah.
compromise. And it, so that's really fascinating. For me, it was three.
Yeah, so three isn't
I
even
did.
a question for us. Like, I can't, like, I don't even understand how you would like achieve that, and like I couldn't.
But that, I was like, I'm crushing it again. And then I was like, not crushing it, not losing it, not doing well. So it is interesting that we're all different. You guys, it's really, I think it's great that you communicate well enough that you really knew a second one would probably throw things into chaos. You were very aware, because I think most people are like, oh, that was cool, let's do it again. And you figured,
Yeah, funny, looking
yeah.
back, I can't exactly pinpoint for you like what it was that made us just know that about both ourselves. A little bit of acknowledging like how much time we like to keep for ourselves, that like that's just important to us, that we liked our careers, that we were still ambitious, that we liked to travel. And some of it was also just knowing that we had an unusually well-behaved daughter. Like we knew,
Yeah,
like we knew.
there's something
Our
wrong with
friends
her.
knew, and we knew like that our daughter is just like she's one of those, and like you knew you weren't going to get a second one of those, right? Like that just wasn't going to be how
I
it's
should
going
have
to happen.
realized that one.
So but you know, and it again, like, and now but also it's also a little hard to know too. So our second came during COVID,
Okay, that's a totally different
you
thing.
know, and then 8 months into that experience, I decided I wanted to start this business. So sometimes it's a little bit hard to know how much to attribute the chaos
Yep.
of having a second to things that weren't just the chaos that is my little boy, which again, he is. But there were so many other things going on in our life then that caused that to sort of like be a harder period too.
You had your first daughter, and you were working corporate. You hadn't talked about changing things because you guys, travel was important before kids, and you figured out a new system to do it with one child, and it was working really well. But there was no, okay. So then you decide to have the second one 4 years apart, and COVID, that's not a normal childbirth experience,
No.
that just that.
I
What was
think
that? What was the difference like between those two births?
well, neither of my births was especially fun, not for like any reason other than just like normal, you know, circumstances. But I
Right.
want to seize on like what you mentioned about the travel piece, because and the second, because I think there are I had not thought about pivoting from a corporate career. I was like very
Okay.
happy. I'm actually only now pivoting. I just decided to leave my full-time job this
Okay.
month, last month. So that's like a very new thing. But so my journey to becoming an entrepreneur was like very linked with my parental and travel experiences at that time. It was really 2020. So my son was born December 2020. So like I got pregnant the first month of COVID basically, and was pregnant through that first period. And then 2021 kind of rolled around and vaccines were on the horizon, and we were talking about traveling again. And we were like very early on to the like path of like I'm willing and ready to travel again. Like that was something we wanted to put back into our life. And the process, two things happened. First, the process of planning our first big trip after COVID was like totally overwhelming. The world had
Okay.
changed and our
Yep.
family had changed. And all of a sudden, I was looking for a totally different type of hotel room, a completely different type of hotel experience. And I couldn't imagine how much time I was spending trying to find it was really an overwhelming experience. And so that happened. And then we took our first trip after COVID. We took a couple of trips, but one of them in particular really solidified for me the importance of travel. And that was something that was related to like something we were going to talk about, that my son was born with a cleft lip. And
Yes.
we had, which we can talk about, but we had this surgery for his cleft lip in the summer of 2021. And about 3 weeks later, we went on a trip. And over the course of that summer, I had sprained my ankle, so I was in an ankle brace, and my body was feeling horrible. My son had had like major facial surgery. And so that had been like a 3 week long recovery. He was still only 7 months old. So we were also just in the throes of like having the second baby and adjusting to that transition. And then we went on this trip, and it was like the trip we really needed to reconnect. And it didn't go seamlessly. We had like horrible flight delays. We lost our luggage, including all of like the formula my baby needed, including all of his sun protective gear that we needed to keep his scar on his face from like being a permanent scar. Like all of that was
Wow.
lost. And yet, like my daughter got food poisoning and threw up the whole night, the second night of the trip. But like despite that, it was one of the best trips we've ever taken. And it was because we like desperately needed the time to connect. And we went somewhere that was really like true to all of us. We took the longer journey to go to this like really remote island that we'd been excited to go to. My husband and I got to scuba dive. The staff at the hotel was amazing. So I came back from that trip and I thought, I want to help more families have experiences like this, right? Like we've been talking about my journey as a parent and how much travel has helped me through it and like kept me true to myself. And that trip was really like a big one. And about a month after that is when I decided to start Mango Tree. So it was a little bit this process of like planning a horrible trip and then having an amazing trip and thinking like what a difference it made to be able to do that. And so that's how, and then I didn't, it was really just this idea that threw me into entrepreneurship. Like I never thought, oh, I want to run a business. I was like, I kind of want to do this thing. And then like that was, almost 3 years ago. So yeah, so that was all kind of wrapped up in becoming the parent of four, two. It was really like that transition to having the second child that kind of like really dramatically shifted my journey.
Well, yes, you went
There
through
was
a
a lot there.
couple. You went through a couple things. I mean, a baby during COVID, travel after COVID, and you traveled pretty soon because, like, for a couple years, it was a pain in the rear. So you were traveling when, I mean, it shouldn't have been, but it still was a pain and people weren't
Oh my God,
traveling.
I still remember the line we had to wait in getting into St. Vincent and the Grenadines was the country we went to on that wonderful trip. I sometimes think that they brought us to the front of the line because we had kids. I think there are still people waiting for that line. Like to the like it was I was like how and it was like the logistics of it were insane insanity, right? So yeah.
So I want to pause to point out a couple things that I don't want to say admitted, like you're in confession here, but you have you've revealed about yourself, maybe is a better way to say. And one is maintaining a sense of self as a working parent, like transitioning to make sure you're still doing the things that you love and realizing that that makes you a better parent, not because I think we have this guilt, shame, and failure. Let's just throw that out. You're a mom now. Well, here's your servings of these,
Like
because we
your
feel,
daily dose, it's like your
oh,
vitamins.
yeah. Yes, you do. Yes. And let's increase it on some days. And for a lot of people, let's throw in some anxiety and a side of depression. I mean, because parenting, that adjustment is really hard, and you're really honest about that transition is maintaining your self sense of self, wanting to be a working parent, continuing to find things that are important to you, and showing up as a better mom because of all that. And that travel was something that before you had kids, it was how you, I'm sure, connected with your husband. You didn't say that, but there were the two
Yeah,
of
but
you
it's
there.
true, definitely.
Right. And that it was like it cleared your head, reduced stress. It was the thing that it was the passion that you had for travel that kept you kind of like reduced your stress. It was what you looked forward to, like I do with running,
But it's interesting as becoming a parent is that I wouldn't have said it as direct. Some of it's just growing up, right? Like I wouldn't have articulated it as well back then. It was just a thing I did, but as part of parenting, it was something that I very much took notice of, that this was improving my ability to parent and that I looked forward to those trips away. And not just because it got me out of the routine, but because I enjoyed my kids the most in those travel experiences. And I wanted more of that, right? Like I wanted to put myself in more situations where I really enjoyed parenting. So in some way, yeah. like it allowed me to really understand, oh no, travel is important to me in like a really meaningful way. And I wouldn't have necessarily articulated that the same way before kids, the way some people are able to.
I mean, even a few years later, you figured out how to make it work and you kept doing it in the beginning, even if you weren't articulating that specifically. And then I feel like then with the second baby, knowing that that was going to be a harder transition, it was more important and navigating that through COVID. And look, when you're good at something, insert thing here, it's great when you can make it faster, easier, and more supported for the people around you. So I love that you took a passion and your family and how hard that can be and built a business from that. So that's really incredible. Tell me though, you have an 8-month-old. Tell what was the cleft surgery?
Look like. So I'm going to say this, you're going to be like, I feel very lucky about the whole cleft lip experience because in the world of having babies born with a cleft lip, ours was relatively minor. So when you have a cleft lip, there are two circumstances. It can be more of like a cosmetic division on the lip, or it can be like deep into the palate. And that can require a lot more surgeries and like long-term impacts. We are Jackson's was pretty superficial. And so that was, but that in some ways that allowed me to undermine or not undermine, but minimize the significance of it. Like people were like trying to be very kind when he was born. I'm like, oh, is he born with a cleft lip? And I was like, yeah, he's got a cleft lip. Like he's fine. He's so cute. He had this like big gappy smile. And it just so happens that my father-in-law is a plastic surgeon, and his specialty used to be cleft lips. So he,
Wow,
which was
that's
like,
great.
so, but he said that a lot of parents don't always react that way because often the visible deformity can be very jarring, and you want to fix it immediately. I quite weirdly, in some ways, thought it made him cuter. And only about a year after he had his surgery, did I start looking back on pictures and think, oh, that's not what other people saw, right? Like I saw this a very unique face. And so when he had his surgery at 8 months, his face changed. No matter how minor the surgery is, his face changed. Like he, you know, it completely, because they also had to do a little work on his nose. And so when he came out of surgery, in addition to being a baby who just had surgery on his face, I couldn't see his face in him. Like I was like, it doesn't look like him. And so I actually was in many ways much more upset after the surgery than I was after his birth. So that 3 week or month long period going into this trip I was talking about was like hard, not just because I was like, you know, handling, he recovered quite quickly. I mean, a couple of weeks felt long at the time, but it wasn't in the grand scheme of things. But the mental adjustment of, oh, this is like his face now. You're literally a new person that I now have to get to know again was very hard. That was really hard for me. Like I had a really hard time with that.
I'm so grateful that you shared that because I wouldn't have looked at it from that perspective. As a doula, recently I had a woman who had gave birth to a little girl with a cleft lip, and it was interesting. I'm thankful for the OB that she had because baby comes out and goes right to her chest, but when the head came out, and you're kind of sweeping the mouth a little bit just to make sure the gunk's out and stuff like that. She got put on her mom, and he said, she has a cleft lip, the palate's intact, so you don't need to worry about anything. Like that.
Amazing. I mean,
And I
amazing
was
that
like,
like you thought.
nobody had even noticed it yet, but then you look down at your little girl, and it's very obvious. I mean, she very obviously had a cleft lip. And I thought, wow, he did a great job. He was just like,
Yeah, that's
this is the
impressive, actually.
situation. You don't really need to worry about it. And she looked at me. I was like, in that golden hour, whenever you're ready to latch for the first time. And she's like, oh, okay, it's gonna be fine. I'm like, it's gonna be fine. Like, just treat it as a normal situation. And never had an issue breastfeeding. And I mean, but it was such a great example of how things aren't always handled well and they can be very
They can be.
easily. And then the doctor, the pediatrician came in later and said, Yeah, it's no big deal. We're going to do a check and you can do a surgery. It's going to be mostly cosmetic, but it's still, even though it was like mostly cosmetic, it was it's pretty significant, you
Yeah,
know?
I think I felt like people kept telling me. So I felt on one hand very fortunate to have a father-in-law who knew about cleft lips,
Right.
because in those early days, it was very quickly like almost what you just described of like, this is just cosmetic. Here's what's going to happen. I've already found you your doctor. Like I
Right.
was able to put my mind at ease. But on the other hand, he'd seen so many cleft lip surgeries in his career that I felt like he, and I don't mean to blame him, but in preparing me for what the surgery would feel like and what the aftermath would be, he was like, this isn't a big deal. I'm like, my baby's in like, you know, like the version of like the dog cone arms and like stitches. Like, this isn't
Right.
really a big deal. But like, it's
It
not
is.
to somebody who sees them day in and day out, but it sure is to someone who's not familiar with like surgery recovery.
Yeah.
So I was a little like, I don't know, somehow I wasn't expecting how hard that would all feel in the wake of the surgery, even though it was just cosmetic, like it was still a major facial surgery, you know?
One of my sons had a hernia surgery at 10 days, and there's not really even much to see from that surgery. You know, there's like one little stitch. And it's just, I think there's a trauma in being in the waiting room while an infant,
Yeah.
you know what I, or a child is in surgery.
Under
We, I've,
anesthesia. Yeah.
yeah, we've had tubes and adenoids and stuff like that. And the surgeries aren't really that big of a deal, but when you're in parent mode in the waiting room, it sure feels hard.
Yeah,
But
it feels really
I'm
hard.
really glad that you talked about how like it didn't look like your little boy
I
anymore.
still, you know, it's so interesting. I can close my eyes right now and I can bring to mind an image of him as a baby with the cleft lip, but just as vividly, I can bring to mind like exactly what he looked like for that. Not once the scars sort of healed, but those first months of having like his new
Yeah.
face. And I still look at some pictures from that time period and I'm like, is that him? Like
Yeah.
now, like there was a weird period there where I would often look at him and be like, that just doesn't look like him. That's not his
Right.
face. And now, you know, he's grown up a little bit and it's changed, but that was a really strange thing to feel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also want to talk about, so I love, love, love that you lost your luggage,
Oh my
you
God.
you had the line like down the block around the city. You know, you had all these things go sideways on a trip that you were really looking forward to after not being able to for a while, after a second child, after surgery, after all these things that you're really looking forward to. And you had to do all that planning, which I remember what it was like back then. And nothing went well. And yet it was the most connecting and it was the best vacation you guys have had. And that changed your trajectory. So I want you to
Yeah.
tell me a little bit about keeping a positive attitude in all of that. And then the conversations that you and your husband had to have over some time for you to build this business and then leave being a lawyer, which is a big
Yeah.
deal.
Yeah. The trip really solidifies for me too, in part, like this is part of like the transition to starting this company, which is that half of the battle was being at the right place. Like we could not have been at a better hotel to with kinder people to help us handle this very challenging logistics thing. So just by way of example, so they the airline only lost my kids' stuff. Like my stuff was fine, but my kids had no clothes. And we flew to an island and then took a ferry to another island. And so it took 4 or 5 days for our suitcases to catch up with us. It was not like we got our suitcases back the next day. And there were no stores really on the little island we were on. But by the time we woke up, like on our first morning, which was a Sunday, so there were no stores open. The staff had arranged, the general manager at the hotel had arranged for her friend to go open up their children's clothing store on the mainland and pull a bunch of clothing that was like the right size for my kids and send it over on the ferry for us to like look through and pick out clothes. Like it was things like that where this, the warmth of this hotel staff, they went out of their way
Yeah.
to help us. And I still think about that. I just booked somebody at that hotel this week, actually. And every time I send somebody to Beckway, I'm like, Beckway. Like the warmth I have for this place because they handled our challenging circumstance so well. And then the rest of the trip was just we knew we were in a special place. We got to scuba dive. The lady at the front desk who got to know our kids' names, she babysat for our kids so my husband and I could go scuba diving. My daughter went snorkeling for the first time, so she was 4, and that for us, sharing, we're big scuba divers and snorkelers, sharing snorkeling with her for the first time was super memorable. So after those, even getting through the logistics and after that, it was just recognizing what a special place we were in. And that actually really underlies like the business that I started. It's not just a family travel company, but it focuses on getting parents to those types of destinations where they feel, parents feel like they're somewhere special, kids can enjoy themselves, the whole family's taken care of. And so it was largely, I think, inspired by sort of like how important those details are for when things go wrong. And so that was pretty, I think that was partly why, like, I can't separate the amazing feeling we had coming off of that trip from where we had chosen to go. And that, you know, that's important, traveling with kids of that age.
Yeah,
So, yeah.
to feel special and
Yeah, feel
to
really
have things
special.
go sideways and not have that be the primary thing that you're thinking about. That, I mean,
That's right.
that's massive. That's
Yeah. Yeah.
that's
That's
massive. So you decided you wanted to help people after this trip.
Yes. And so I again, it was like many things in our life, it was like things all came together at the right time. I hit a lull in my legal practice. My firm was going through a transition, and so I had a break. I had come back from maternity leave. I hadn't gotten like fully staffed up yet. Like I just my practice wasn't very busy. And so when the idea hit, I thought, I think I might actually have time to do this. And so it was one of these things. I was like sitting around the table with a bunch of my girlfriends having drinks on my like pedestal about how I thought travel could be better, and walked away and thought, I think I was like, this could be better, this could be this better resource. And I said to my husband in the car home, I said, I think I might want to try to build this. Like, I think I want to build a resource to make it better for parents to travel. And he couldn't have been, I probably wouldn't have done it if he hadn't said, here are the first two people I think you should speak to. I think you should get on the phone with them this week. And he like really nudged me in those first couple of weeks after having the idea. Cause I went from idea to spending like 50 hours a week on it. Like, it was not like, let me
Shocking
mull
that you would be
it
the type of person to
over.
do that. I'm a,
It was like,
I
oh, I have
never
an
saw
idea.
that coming.
Like, I think I maybe have not cooked like a proper meal for my kids since the day I had the idea. Like, my husband, he picked up all the slack. Like, he just jumped in and did it, and was, you know, at first I think he was excited because he loves travel too, and we bounced ideas off of each other. Eventually, I think that waned a little bit, but like he continued to be supportive. It's kind of gone up and down in terms of, again, it's been about 2.5 years since like the day of the idea. And so for those couple of years, there's been a lot of up and down about it, and a lot of stress about whether I could leave my job and like whether that's what I wanted and whether I could replace the income that we've grown accustomed to by starting a business. And the answer is like probably not, but that's okay. But I think I can replace a lot of it. And he made some shifts in his career accordingly to sort of. We tried to figure out together, like, what is the amount of money we need to make? And can we do it while both of us have, are doing something that we like? And I should give you like the one anecdote, which is that early in our marriage, before we had kids, my husband found himself hating being a lawyer. My then boyfriend, not yet husband, found himself hating being a lawyer. And I really encouraged him to stop. And he quit his job while I was working in private practice and completely transitioned to ocean conservation in the nonprofit space. And he had done that shift once. And so, and I was supportive. And I think it was really nice for him to be like, okay, it's your turn now. Like, now you get to try. And so that was, has always felt like a really great, we're in it together for sure.
Oh, I love that. That I'm glad that you shared that because it does make a difference. My husband and I talk about that a lot. You know, the balance between doing something you need to do because you have bills that have to get paid, and doing something you love, and is doing something you love a side hustle, which is not a terminology that I love, right? I don't like it,
I
but
know, me
like
neither.
doing that little side thing that's a
Yeah.
hobby, that one also, I'm like, oh,
Yeah.
okay. Yeah. Like,
I
no,
know,
you
I'm
want to be
like,
all in. If you're an all in person, you want to be
yeah.
all in, but not having the ability to be all in yet. And we've both supported each other in that. And I know his turn's next. And like, I'm ready, I'm waiting for it to happen, you know? But I think when you have that open communication, like, things are very fluid. It's not
Yeah.
static, and you want to make those transitions together. This was, I just really appreciate you so much, Lee, for being
Thank you.
on
It's
and
so nice
sharing.
chatting with you. You asked great questions. It made me think about some things I hadn't thought about in a while.
Well, that's always a good thing. But thank you
Yes.
for being on and being honest about your story. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it. Hopefully, it helps others a little bit.